It's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. David Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Plenty to talk about tonight as all kinds of craziness happened in the first weekend of the NCAA tournament, and we're here to talk about it, and we had it all for you here on WGCL, and we'll pick it back up again Thursday night, 7 o'clock, looking for potentially more craziness. In addition, Chris Ballard has made one of his first big moves of his career already with Colts, trading out of the 3 slot down to the 6 slot and picking up 3 second-round picks out of the equation. We'll talk about that here in a little while, but we start with the NCAAs, and we talked about it on Wednesday. You know, having fun, having craziness, having upsets happen is the enjoyment of the early week of the NCAA tournament. We like to see these upsets. We like to pick these upsets. There's never been a 16 that has beaten a 1. There's been a couple of 15s that have beaten 2s over the years, but when would that happen? Well, you got your answer. 2018 is the year it happens as Virginia goes down, and we'll talk about other upsets throughout the show, but Virginia went down and went down hard, and a couple of these upsets were surprisingly hard, big blowout-type victories, at least in the final score, and for a team that everybody had pegged in as the number one team, only 2 losses on the year, Virginia, as solid as it looked among just about anyone out there in the NCAAs, how in the world are they the number one that gets beaten out of this in the first round, the first team to ever lose to a 16 seed?
And they were hammered.
I mean, 20 points.
They weren't even beaten. They were comprehensively whipped by the Retrievers of the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. The Virginia Cavaliers were giving up 53 points a game on defense. They scored 54 in this game. They should have won. They gave up 53 in the second half to University of Maryland, Baltimore County. It's 21-21 halftime. Mm. And somehow, some way, the Retrievers made every shot they looked at. The University of Virginia couldn't stop them with that wonderful defense. They couldn't score with them. It was one of the most baffling things I've ever seen, and beautiful things I've ever seen in the NCAA tournament.
It was fun.
Well, it was fun because it was completely insane. It was not a last-second shot. That it wasn't a bad call. It wasn't anything.
No,
it was just a complete and utter destruction of the best conference's best team and the best team in the tournament. So once that's happened, the rest of it's gravy. It doesn't even matter anymore. But what you do know is they're out. And they're out without a fight. They're out without anything. And it's just shocking. There's no other word to use. I said last Wednesday I never thought it would happen for the simple reason that the 16 teams are seeded to be the 4 worst teams play the 4 best teams. So in that sense, you would think it would never happen to the best defensive team that you played. Some will argue, well, Virginia's really not set up to score or come back from whatever. Down. Well, I don't know who's set up to, besides Nevada. They're down 22 with 11 minutes to go to the second
there
best.
There were a couple of those,
the
too.
The second best team in the tournament was Cincinnati defensively. They had a 22-point lead with 11 minutes to go, got outscored 32-8 in the last 11 minutes, and lost. If you're coming here looking for answers, I don't have any except that kids do kids things. It is a one-game elimination knockout tournament. It is not a best of anything, as we've always joked about. You only have to be really good on your one day. And there you go. And the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, puts themselves in a position that will never be touched and I'm going to say never until I'm wrong again, and I have no problem being with that, because if somebody beats a 1 worse than this down the road, your head's going to explode or fall off or both. And I wouldn't have a problem with that. I would love to see it, but that was something that just plaintively didn't make any sense at all, and that is the wonderment of this tournament. The tournament doesn't always determine who the best team is. It determines who the best team over 6 games is, going through all these hurdles, these tar pits, these fireballs, these shark-infested waters, and you have to show up and play. I'll give Tony Bennett some credit. He came out afterwards and didn't make one excuse, except his team got his butt kicked.
Very classic.
Well, that's what else are you going to do? You lost by
absolutely.
20.
Yeah.
You lost by 20, and it doesn't make any sense. The game was in Charlotte. It wasn't in Boise.
No,
it wasn't
right
in
down the
Buffalo.
Street.
It wasn't. It was right down the street. Then North Carolina's playing in Charlotte. They get beat by Texas A&M, a 7 seed, by 25
Another
points.
Another 20 points, yeah.
The two two seeds did just two amazingly different things, but lost just as badly.
Mm-hmm.
And you just look at this and you said, and we talked about this last week, we didn't say, you know, there's not that 38-0 Kentucky team that's out there where you say, well, who's gonna lose
them.
To them in the final? Right. Yeah, who's going to be the sheeps to the lambs of the slaughter on that? That wasn't the case at all, but the South region itself just threw up all over. Arizona goes out, blown out by Buffalo.
Game one, yeah.
21 points?
21. Yep.
So they are, this region, just, I don't know.
We looked at it and thought Virginia got a bad draw. It turns out they would have had a great draw if they just would have beaten
the
16
seed.
They
got the worst draw in the history of college basketball.
They would have had a great draw if they had won their game like they're supposed to.
And that's what makes it just unbelievable. And that's where you shake your head, and that's where you just say, if there's a better reality show going on other than sports, go ahead and show it to me. It's not The Bachelor. It's not The Amazing Race. It's not The Voice. It's not American Idol. This is it, because there is no way, no how, that anybody outside of any graduate or current student of the Retrievers would have
had them.
Any. That wasn't the game. That wasn't the matchup where you'd say, maybe not. Maybe this team will give them a little bit of a sniff. No. It wasn't close. The smallest point spread was Penn and Kansas. Everybody was very high on Penn. And Penn had a decent lead in that game early, but you play all 40 minutes, and Kansas wins by 16. Sure, yeah. It's not 35 in the classic 116 blowout.
We've seen close games there. I mean, Georgetown and Princeton.
Yeah, Purdue, Western Carolina. Yeah, you've seen Michigan State and overtime to Murray or whatever. Yeah. You had 100 of these. But when you've got twos and threes and ones dropping like flies.
Half of the 1-3 seeds are gone.
Gone.
And 3 of the 4 seeds are gone.
Yeah.
That's of your Sweet 16, just less than half of them are 1-4 seeds.
It is. And it sets up, you talk about set up great. Now it sets up great for Duke and Villanova.
Sure does.
But
they have to face each other.
But they have to face each other. And there you go. And here's the wonderfully bizarreness of it. Isaac Haas breaks his elbow in 100 places in their first game as a 2-seed Purdue. They're playing Butler, who's a notorious giant killer,
yeah.
And Purdue finds a way to win. If you'd have told me Purdue was a 2-seed, it was going to lose because Haas was hurt, okay.
Everybody would have bought that.
I can connect those dots. I can't connect.
But no, they didn't fold down the stretch in a game when Butler came back either. So, I mean, that's
except missing those two free throws.
Well, but give them credit for pulling it out, given all that.
They did, but that would have been a 2-10 where you said, oh, I get
that
it.
That makes sense, right?
That makes sense. You lose the most powerful player perhaps in that region, and then you've got to turn around a day later and play. And again, up is down, dogs and cats are hanging out, whatever that great quote is from Ghostbusters, and here you have it. And some of the teams that you look at and you say, well, they were playing great, they were beating everybody in front of them, now they're not. They're out. They're home.
Michigan is the highest seed left
in
on
the
left
side of
the
bracket. I saw that today.
Yeah.
So it, Michigan, Villanova, Purdue, and Duke in Kansas. That's it. Four of the 16s are top 2 seeds.
Oh, yeah.
Or three, top 3 seeds, excuse me.
Kansas,
right?
Duke, Michigan, Gonzaga.
Well,
Gonzaga's a 4.
Yeah.
Purdue, Texas Tech.
There you go. So 5 of the 16.
Uh-huh.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense, and it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Let's throw in number 4, Auburn, down 40 in a 4-5 game.
Yeah, got their butt.
40.
I mean, the scores
40.
Are what really
40.
I mean, the scores and the comebacks are really what amaze you
it
even
is.
About them. I mean, because it is, first of all, it is that Virginia got beat by a 16.
Right.
It is that. But then you add on, they got beat by 20. And then Arizona got their butt kicked by 20.
By 20.
And then Auburn did a no-show. Now, that's a number 5 seed that beat them, but they got smeared.
Still, 4-5 is an evenly matched game.
Carolina in a second-round game got beat by 21.
Cincinnati had a 22-point lead with 11 minutes to go.
You effectively lost by 25 points because they came back from that deficit late.
And let's not forget, Stephen F. Austin was leading Texas Tech with about 90 seconds to go in a 3-14 game. Texas Tech finally put it together for a minute in that one.
We haven't mentioned the other number 1
seed
yet.
Wichita State beaten by Marshall. You can just keep going through these and just shake your head and scratch it. Michigan State losing to Syracuse in Detroit.
In Detroit.
They had 30 offensive rebounds and lost the basketball game.
Yeah.
In Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit. Hey, Syracuse is good. I get all that stuff. I get that system message with
Syracuse
people.
Syracuse almost didn't get in the tournament.
Here's how good Jim Boeheim was yesterday. Michigan State's down by 3. and Syracuse is fouling, even though they've given up 25 offensive rebounds, because he's taken that equation out of the out of the deal. But you say, well, coach, you've already given up 25 offensive rebounds. Hey, get 26. And just to see these things come together like this is absolutely befuddling. You've had overtime games. You had the first game of the tournament was overtime. You've had a handful of buzzer beaters. You've had two from Loyola. It's been absolutely great if you're doing anything except rooting for if you're rooting for Duke or Villanova or Kentucky, you're having a great day.
You're loving it.
But the rest of it, just light it on fire. And the smartest thing ESPN ever does, and they do this annually, but this year it sticks out a little bit more. Hey, it's a Sweet 16 second chance contest.
Yeah, exactly.
Pick the Sweet 16. You want to have something to root about? We need you to click our site all next week. Here's another contest for you. But what makes it fun is there have been tournaments, and we talked on Wednesday about 2008. You had four number one seeds make the final four.
Which never happened.
That's fine. That's great. Well, you're right. It never happens. That's the first and last time it's happened. But there are some years where there is a different cut of cloth. But that was 10 years ago. And the one point that I'm sticking with, because I think Leonard Hamilton from Florida State got on this point, he was going the same direction I was going on Wednesday, but he stopped a little short. He said, you know what? Conferences, seeding, all this stuff anymore, it kind of all blends together. His ninth-seeded Florida State Seminoles came back from 12 or 14 down in the second half to beat a number one seed in Xavier. The angle that I took on Wednesday, and I think – I don't know if this is playing itself out or not, but you have kids that play more basketball than they ever had leading into college now. The AAU programs are off the hook. Every city's got seven teams. All these guys go to recruiting service camps and shoe deals and this and that, and they're all playing for something. And a lot of those kids, the analogy I used – I don't want to be the 11th guy at Michigan State, so I'm going to go to I'm going to go to Western Michigan, or I'm going to. But these guys are all. There's no advantage to the playing anymore. Everybody's playing a ton of games, and if you develop a little bit later and you're not a top 100 kid, you can still play basketball to a degree. And this is what you're seeing in this tournament. None of these kids on these teams are recruits.
They're spreading out further too. I mean, it's 10 years ago or whatever it is now that Steph Curry made a splash in the NCAA tournament as the guy for Davidson.
A little bit.
You've
different.
Got more guys. That can make a difference at
you
those
do.
Schools.
Curry
now.
Was an interesting story because his dad was an NBA player.
Right.
And his brother played at Duke. So you kind of get the pedigree there. You can't name a guy in Loyola.
No.
You can't name any of them.
No.
The guys on Baltimore, Maryland County, you can't name.
You mentioned Xavier. Xavier lost at least a 10-point lead in the last six, seven, eight. I think it was 8 minutes Makura went out. And they had a 10-point lead. And just kind of methodically, Florida State kept chipping at it.
And a Florida State team that's barely in the tournament.
Yeah, right.
Well, they're a nine. You know, they weren't – I guess it makes sense. The best team in the ACC gets beat by 20, and the team that's a ninth seed from the ACC beats a one.
Michigan State, Tom Izzo, as talented as there is, as deep as there is in the NCAA this year.
Didn't work.
As tough as there is every year,
and
this year included, young. We talked about that on Wednesday. Yeah. They are young. But they couldn't solve Syracuse. And this is a Michigan State team that was
plenty tough,
but they scored this year.
In Detroit.
I don't know how many Michigan State teams we've seen average 84 points a game. They scored 30 under that because Syracuse has done that now three times in the tournament and is pretty good at it. So what is it about that Syracuse zone? I mean, we saw it several years ago, but what is it that makes that thing keep working like that?
If you don't find
guys.
I mean,
they barely got in the tournament, so it's not like they flew in here the two seed.
If you don't find guys that can make shots, it's on your night. If you shoot 30-something percent, low 30%, you're not going to beat anybody.
Yeah, they shot atrociously.
Look how many offensive rebounds they got, and they couldn't put them back in the – they had no less than 20 – when I saw the stat, they had 24 offensive rebounds like 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
So if they got 26 offensive rebounds, they didn't make five
of them.
I think
it was 28 at the end of the day.
It was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, if you scored on half of them, that's 28 points. They scored 53 points. They shot
like 28%.
Yeah, it was terrible.
I saw
– And they were all bad shots.
Bridges, Langford – And one other player for them who shoots a lot. I don't think so because it was all three pointers.
Well, that's Winston.
It might have been Winston. They made 9 3-pointers in the game. No, they made 7 3-pointers in the game and then combined for 2 2-pointers between them and shot something like 7 of 32.
Do you remember how the first half ended in that game? McQuaid gets his three block, catches it in midair, and shoots it on the fly and makes a three.
Yep.
They had 50 other points than that shot. So if it doesn't go in, if you take bad shots that don't go in, great. They had a few open looks I saw that didn't fall. But Syracuse does that to you. They rope you into, hey, you're kind of open. Go ahead and shoot.
Yeah.
And then they still get 26 offensive, 28 offensive rebounds. I have no idea. Here's the last time Michigan State went to the Final Four. I believe it was 2014. They were a 7 seed. Since then, they lost with Denzel Valentine, the player of the year,
first
when
time.
Everybody went crazy. They thought they should have been a 1.
Yeah.
There were 2. They get knocked out by Middle Tennessee State. And 2 years later, there are 3 and have 30 wins, the most best regular season record in school history. And then you see they've only beat 3 tournament teams in that record. But you can't, you know, your conference is your conference. And they don't fire when they're supposed to fire. That's what makes this great. Auburn, the highest scoring team in the SEC, scores 53 points. They were down 48-19 at halftime. Or something, 41-19, whatever it was. It was
the 3 main
ridiculous.
Players I mentioned for Michigan State combined total.
Yeah.
9 of 42.
That's not going to win you.
And only 2 of those shots made were inside a 3-point line.
There you go.
They made 7 outside.
And that's how
they took 33 pointers between the 3 of them.
That's how you lose.
Yeah.
And when it doesn't go in, it doesn't go in. Look, Michigan's out. They don't hit a 28-footer at the buzzer.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not like Michigan beat the pants off Kelvin Sampson's team.
And Ohio State
Devin Davis missed 2 free throws.
Is the other Big Ten team that's out. They did get past their first-round opponent. It was a difficult South Dakota State, but Gonzaga got them and scored a ton of points.
And full marks to Ohio State. They handled South Dakota. That game wasn't as close as the final
score. No, there was, they closed it within 4 or 5 late,
but then
put it back on.
They made plays and made enough plays, and Gonzaga's got enough guys to make plays. 4 or 5, Gonzaga wins. That's not hugely surprising.
Right.
But Devin Davis has 2 foul shots in a 2-point game. He makes both of them. There is no game.
It's over.
There is no chance. The kid hits a 30. Oh, I mean, he had spread eagle 28-footer.
Oh, yeah, it was crazy.
It was a great shot. But the point is, Michigan didn't go out and blow anybody's doors off either.
Right.
Now, do they ride that momentum to move forward? Well, Texas A&M has a bit of momentum on their side.
And big and tough and nasty, too.
Well, they just drilled Carolina in Charlotte by 21.
Put
that game wasn't close.
You know, Carolina doesn't mind scoring, but they only had 65 points in that game.
Carolina and Virginia were the same.
Yeah.
But Carolina scores a ton.
Mm-hmm.
That's even more damning.
Mm-hmm.
I can see Virginia not being able to go because they haven't been a team all year that scores in the 70s and the 80s.
You wouldn't have think UMBC would pick it up. I mean, losing to Texas A&M is a hell of a lot better looking than UMBC.
If you think of offense in the ACC, Duke and Carolina jump to the top.
Virginia,
it's 87 points,
yeah.
And you think they have to score.
Right.
In Charlotte, North Carolina scored 65 points.
Yeah.
That is just as bad as Michigan State scoring 53 in Detroit.
Yeah.
I mean, those are 2 home games.
It's
that's why
given to you on a platter.
That's why you want a high seed
so
you can play in these style of arenas and you can take advantage of crowds and you can take advantage of everything that should go. When you're a high seed, you should have the perks and benefits.
Yeah, sure.
When you're the number 1 seed, you should play the worst 4 teams if you want to. 1-1-1-1-1, play 16-16. Uh-huh. You should get that. That's what you're rewarded for your season's body of work. And Carolina to lay an egg with Joel Berry and Theo Pinson and guys that have been in Final Fours and winners of titles. That Virginia's problem is Xavier's problem. Humps. They've never gotten over that
Virginia's
hump.
Problem is bigger than anybody else's
in this thing.
I mean, it's first,
in
it's
this
first
game,
round to a 16. There's no excuse.
There's no doubt
there's
about
none
it.
Whatsoever.
But Virginia is not a – they have not been to Final Fours in the last couple of years.
No,
Carolina's won the title.
They've been very good, but you're correct.
Carolina's pedigree.
They have not gotten very far in the tournaments.
Yes.
I mean, they have won a couple ACC titles under Tony Bennett, but they have not gotten very far in the tournament.
But
Roy
Williams,
one Elite Eight.
How many Final Fours has he been to?
I mean, the guy's – he's been around forever. He's seen it forever. Now he has seen everything.
Now, getting drilled as a 2 seed.
Getting creamed as a 2 seed in Charlotte.
And creamed.
Yeah.
And not, I mean, that game wasn't close.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. It makes no sense. Your bracket, just use it as the stuff you put in the bottom of the birdcage. That's the best place for it. And the teams that have literally survived this. I heard this quote last night. I can't remember. Kenny Smith, Charles Barkley, somebody said, who looks around now in the Sweet 16 and says, well, why can't we go out win it? There is
especially on the left side of this bracket.
Any side of
I mean,
bracket.
Come on.
Everybody's where's all the pressure now?
Yeah.
The pressure's squarely where? On Kentucky. Why? They're
they
Kentucky.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
right.
And look who they have. That's all they have to beat.
That's exactly
the
right.
The pressure is squarely on Villanova. Why? Yep. Well, you're a 1 seed.
Yeah. You gotta
well,
get out
you
of that.
Should oh, you should be doing that. Kansas. Pressure.
Yep.
Why? Because you're the last bastions of it. Duke, I don't know about Duke. Duke's a weird thing.
Yeah.
How does Duke lose to Lehigh the other year? How does Duke lose? I mean, did you just scratch your head? All these teams, these nondescript teams, are all have all eight seniors on their team? No, they don't. You can dress that up anyway. Yeah. Syracuse is playing three freshmen in a 7-man rotation.
Yeah, and they best score went out with 7 minutes
Michigan
left.
Michigan State in Detroit and held them to 53 points. Put your seatbelt. The best news about this is we don't have to get back to playing it until Thursday. I could use the extra couple days of rest after absorbing all of this all weekend. And it's great. It's absolutely great.
The left side of the bracket in the elite or in the Sweet 16, your eight teams, 3, 4, 5, 2 7s, 2 9s, and an 11.
Yeah, it's what it is. Got to play the game. Got to win the game. It's in front of you. And if you don't, you don't get another chance.
Somehow Bruce Weber makes it to the second weekend. And
you know why?
Tony Bennett.
Because he played
Tom Izzo. Williams don't.
Played an 8 and a 16. Good for Bruce.
Yeah, we got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Program reminders, we're going to wait until Thursday to get you back in, but we're going right back to the NCAA tournament, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So check your listings. We'll start at about 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday night, and then on the weekend we'll cover both the Saturday games and Sunday games for you. Again, we'll have them all for you throughout the tournament. And it has been, as we mentioned, a crazy tournament already. The first number 16 seed to beat a number 1 seed as Virginia loses to UMBC by 20 points. Other seeds, Xavier went out to Florida State in the second round. They had a late 10-point lead in that. J.P. Makura went to the bench with about 7 or 8 minutes left, I think, and Florida State just kind of chipped away. Other seeds, Cincinnati lost a 20-point lead. Was it 20 or 22?
22-point lead. They were outscored 32-8 in the last 11 minutes.
And then North Carolina, the other number 2 seed to go out. They got beat by 21 by Texas A&M on the Charlotte floor. Three seeds, Michigan State in the second round to Syracuse. Not a blowout, but 30 points under their normal output for the Spartans. Who else we missing? Tennessee. We hadn't talked about Tennessee yet. They lost to Loyola Chicago, who beat the 6 seed Miami and now the 3 seed Tennessee. So they have certainly earned their way in. And then your 4 seeds, Auburn got smeared. Where else are we looking? Arizona in first round. I mean, that's the one of the,
Marshall
the first upset of the year.
Wichita
the game,
State in the first round as a 4 seed is out. Yeah, you can just keep picking them right out of the sky. Gonzaga moves through, so that's a 4 seed that's doing what a 4 seed should do. That's funny. The you know, I don't think I have any Sweet 16 teams right except Loyola of Chicago. That was my lucky guess, and there you go. They're a tough team. 2 buzzer beaters living on borrowed time. Loyola of Chicago or Nevada is playing for its trip to a Final Four.
Yep.
That's what it's going to be, and there's something wonderfully poetic about that because you can't – no one buys it. No one's going to believe you when that happens. The other side of the bracket, 1-5-3-2-3 in the East and then 1-5-11-2 in the Midwest. So, not a Hoyle, but there's at least some stability over there.
Yeah.
What does it mean? It means nothing. It means you get 4 days to prepare. You think Jim Boeheim has seen enough of Duke and Krzyzewski? I mean, he's only on his staff for 100 years, the USA basketball stuff. Those two teams know what's going on. Is Duke patient enough to work the zone? I don't know. They beat him by 22 a couple weeks ago, but that's not a knockout elimination game with pressure.
Right.
That's the other thing you can't replicate in any of this. The pressure is so intense on the higher seeds or the better teams. That Baltimore, Maryland County, did you see them play? They played effortless. Yeah. They didn't care. They played like kids would play because they know they're not supposed to win. They know they're huge underdogs. So just go out and play. And sometimes when teams don't have that that angle, and when would ever Baltimore, Maryland County have that angle? I guess maybe playing Vermont in their conference championship where they – no, I think they were an underdog in that. They were the 2 and Vermont was the 1.
I believe so.
When you play with house's money, what do you care? And that's where everybody's pointing and kind of snickering at Kentucky right now. Oh, woe is
look
me.
Yeah, right.
Look at our draw. The committee hates us. Look at the four teams in front of us. We've got no chance. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you're the hunted.
Whoops. Yep.
Well, you get a bunch of kids there, and now you're the hunted. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how Don John Calipari takes care of that.
Looking at the conferences right now, the Big 12 and the ACC each have four teams still left.
The Pac-12 has four teams.
Big 12 got two.
In the NIT.
The SEC got two. The Big East. Heard a lot about the Big East the last couple of years. They have Villanova.
Well, and that's the number one. Two number one seeds, one of them moving on, and Villanova pounded Alabama. So fair play to Villanova deserves credit for that. That first game out
taking
is always a little bit of a duddy on a Saturday or a Sunday. That first game, it's a tough one for fans to get into. The arena is usually empty because no one's really rolling in till halftime or so, and they pounded them into the ground, won by 23. So that number one seed's doing their job. Kansas hung on against Seton Hall. Seton Hall is a big physical team. Mm-hmm. Indiana saw that throughout the year and gave Kansas a good run for their money. But the Jayhawks, senior guard, sometimes can pull you through, make some shots, break presses, and again, deserved. Yeah, because a lot of teams. I don't think there's anybody looking around saying, man, we got the bad end of the deal or whatever. These teams have been beaten. These have not been – they've got 26 – well, we've got 26
Virginia,
fouls. All our guys
Carolina,
have fouled out.
Arizona,
Cincinnati.
I mean, these are all
– keep going.
The first three were bad – I mean, big-time numbers as far as losses are concerned. And then you look at Cincinnati and you look at Xavier losing the leads that they lost in their positions. Definitely not good. Not to write home about. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Throw a couple names out there because everybody's going to concentrate on the left side of the bracket and then talk about Villanova, Duke, and Kansas. But Purdue without Isaac Haas. Texas Tech's a tough team. Villanova or West Virginia is going to be a tough team. This team can't really go all the way without Isaac Haas, can it?
Sure, why not? Carson Edwards can score. Vince Edwards can score. All they need is rebounding. Haas blocks some shots, sure. As you saw later in the year, at some point when they let Haas get after it, Purdue struggled until they finally found a way to get around that. Sometimes you play better when the lane's not clogged up.
Yeah, that team was shooting 40% from threes early in the season, and around the time IU played him down here, you figured out, hey, let's let Haas go nuts.
He's only going to score two,
and stay
not
out
three.
Along there. Exactly.
So it'll be interesting to see. Here's the great matchup of Purdue-Texas Tech. The Texas Tech coach has Indiana ties, Chris Beard. Hmm. 2 years ago, Chris Beard's University of Arkansas, Little Rock, whatever they're called, beat Purdue in the tournament. Hmm. So this is a little bit of a rebound. If that was 2 years ago, this is when all those kids were sophomores.
Yeah.
And besides Carson Edwards, he was not there. That's right.
Right.
But the point,
everybody else
they've already not. He already has a blueprint to knock them out. They won, I believe it was in double overtime a few years back on that. So you have that weird angle to it. It seems like everything's got an angle. Villanova and West Virginia, that sounds like a great Big East matchup, except one of them's in the Big 12 and the other one's in the Big East.
That's right.
So it's fun to look ahead to. But you were talking about four seeds as well, and just glancing back at this and having my memory bank get spun back. And Auburn beat the College of Charleston by 4 points.
Yeah, they struggled.
Gonzaga beat UNC Greensboro by 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
So those are your 4-13s that could have also snuck out. Give credit where credit's due. It'll be interesting to see if Michigan can use their borrowed time again. They had the wonderful story last year of winning the Big Ten tournament in Washington, D.C. after their plane slid off the runway, and thank goodness no one was injured or killed in that.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get a little bit of other good fortune knocking down a shot when you were dead and buried by a kid that's a freshman.
Yeah,
and that wasn't Mo Wagner hitting that. That wasn't Abdul-Rahman hitting that shot. That wasn't Duncan Robinson hitting that shot. That was a kid that was probably left open for a reason.
Well, he got flying at him, too.
Made it with a guy in his face, kicking his
legs. Well, they inbounds out with 2.2 left in the clock or something like that?
I don't know what it was. It was late, and it was fantastically executed. Those shots have to go in, and it did go in, and sometimes, just sometimes, ask Loyola Chicago about it.
Yeah.
Buy one buzzer beater, get one free. Is everybody going to have a nun on the sideline next year? I don't know how that works. Why wouldn't you?
Well, she's 90.
But it's interesting to see how one game you make those plays and one game you have to make them again. Houston beat San Diego State by 2, but couldn't close out Michigan. It's just a very fine line how that stuff works out.
So this, you know, at the end of the day, it's just more fun discussion.
No, but bear with me.
The idea that the UMBC upset of Virginia is the biggest in not only college basketball history, but any sport.
College
basketball had an interesting one. I didn't think of this at first. But
Chaminade
over Virginia. Because
Virginia
you're talking
team.
About like a Division III team.
But you are. But the thing is, the stakes weren't any stakes in that. That's a November.
Yeah.
Where your hula hoop. Who lay around your neck and shoot some
Virginia
baskets.
Virginia had to go all the way to
Hawaii. And it's their deal. It's their game. It's their court. This is all set up for the number one seed to win the game comfortably.
Right. It's all in your favor.
Not be beaten by 20 points. That's why it's not even close, in my opinion. That's the biggest upset. People were talking about the Jets over Super Bowl III.
Yeah.
They had Joe Namath.
Well, yeah.
It's not close. It's not even the neighborhood.
No,
it doesn't make any sense.
There was clearly no respect for the AFL back
then. That's fine, but they still had Joe Namath.
But that's different, yeah. They're still pro players.
Baltimore County don't have a top eight draft pick. Yeah. You know, when Lehigh beat Duke a couple years ago, they had C.J. McCollum. He's an all-star at Portland. Mm-hmm. He gets 24 points a game.
Yeah.
So they had a player.
They had somebody.
Sometimes only needs one.
And again, Davidson with Steph Curry went.
There you go.
Went forever.
That's right. There is none of that.
Yeah,
on UMBC. UMBC lost 83-49 in the regular season to Albany.
Oh, it was worse than that. They scored
83-39.
Like
39. Okay,
yeah.
Whatever. But
yeah,
the point is, this wasn't some
45.
Team that had won 20 out of 21
right.
and just happened to be overlooked. The game's in Charlotte. How far is Charlotte from Charlottesville?
Not very.
And you set all these pegs up, and you talk about a team that's had experience. Virginia's had experience. They're playing guys. I don't think the freshman caused the 20-point loss either.
God.
I don't think that was
They've got
that
enough
was
talent
it.
On that team that shouldn't have made the difference.
But that's why it's an upset. That's why the nation reacted, just not a pocket of ACC fans.
Yeah.
Everybody got into this and said, oh, my gosh, look what's happened there. And people want to talk about the miracle on ice and things like that. That's a semifinal game. Just stop. Enjoy this. Why do we always have to put it to something else? They destroyed Virginia. And not a Virginia team that was 30-6 where you could have argued they could have been a two seed.
Right.
This was not even involved with that. And that's what makes it special. That's what makes it wonderful. It's too bad UMBC could not recharge their batteries in 24 hours and do it again against Kansas State. They did lose that game. They only scored 43 points in that game.
Well, it was a 7-point game still.
Again, you don't have the depth. You don't have the turnaround to make that happen. And that's the part of it. Buffalo. Big cruising victory over Arizona. Kentucky hammers them by 20.
Yeah.
Give up 95 points. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to be a part of that. So,
well, Kentucky had a hard time with Davidson.
They did. And then they turned around and put the pedal to the metal. Can't win anything with kids these days. But the fun part about this tournament is you have all kinds of activity in drama, stories, and it happens every year. It just doesn't happen perhaps to this level of upset. Sometimes you get a lot of upsets in the 10-7, the 6-11, the 5-12s, things like that. And sometimes there's a regional final, 1-2, 1-3, 2-1.
Not 1-2s and 3s early on. I mean, you'll get a couple of them. But,
and I think that's why we all tune in, just to see if it can happen. We joked last Wednesday these teams won't schedule each other, so you force them to play. And these things can happen. And it's been great. It is an absolute fantastic piece of theater, and we have two more weekends to go.
Yeah,
that's the fun part.
812-333-2665 is a phone number. We're going to take a quick break here. Chris Ballard, Colts general manager, has suddenly put his stamp on the Colts. We don't know exactly what that stamp looks like or what it says just yet, but what it does say is that he's got a lot of draft picks that he didn't have and made a big trade with the Jets. We'll talk about that and what the Colts have done in the offseason. Not much.
Stockpile.
So far in just a few minutes. Again, 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. You're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Again, programming note for you, Thursday night is when we pick back up the NCAA tournament. We'll give you all the games through the entire tournament, and that includes on Monday for the championship game in a week and a half. But this week. 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday is when we will pick things up for the NCAA tournament, and then have both the or all the games on Saturday and Sunday as well. Chris Ballard, GM, just got the job in the off season, actually before last season, to go along with Chuck Pagano. Now Chuck is gone, and it's Frank Reich's turn. But Chris Ballard looking to make his mark on the Colts roster. And so far, it's mostly been exoduses of folks. Rashawn Melvin's out the door. Frank Gore is out the door. Dante Moncrief is out the door. Jonathan Hankins now is out the door. John Bostic is out the door. So not surprising, some older players there in a couple occasions. You're not going to pay guaranteed money like Jacksonville did to Dante Moncrief, given he was never, I don't know, first of all, he's never fulfilled maybe his promise, but at the second time, when you're talking about the kid not working real hard, that's not going to fly in a lot of locker rooms, so that's not a big surprise. So it's been mostly heading out the door, but now we have a coming back in the door potentially here, as we added a couple draft picks and some good ones at that. The Colts trade out of the number 3 slot for the number 6 overall pick. They also get the number 37 and number 49 picks in this year draft, which are both second round picks, and they get the Jets numbers second round pick for next year. So they got 3 second round picks, and they only move down 3 slots, staying in the top 10 of the NFL draft. That is some excellent value. That is exactly what you want your general manager to do, especially if you don't need a quarterback. So there's several quarterbacks being projected to be taken at the top of the first round as usual, leaving folks like Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley and some other folks in the mix potentially for number 6. Everybody is focusing on Bradley Chubb, a pass rusher. Everybody wants a pass rusher. Certainly wouldn't be a bad pick, you wouldn't think. I'm intrigued by Saquon Barkley. I know people say that running backs aren't as valuable today as they were 15, 20 years ago, but this guy was a freak of nature at Penn State. Returned kicks for touchdowns. We saw that right here. Can catch the ball for touchdowns. We saw that on national television several times. Can throw. He did that to Indiana also. And at 235 is fast and extremely strong and athletic. He is a freak of nature. He is intriguing to me to put in the backfield with Andrew Luck, considering especially you don't have much else there anyways.
Considering who they have to block for them, I don't think it matters.
Well, they do have a lot of money in free agency to be able to spend.
They
so
have
that might be where they go with that.
$2 million yeah. to spend on free agency.
That would be the place to go for that.
What's wrong with Ryan Kelly? If Pouncey and the other center was being mentioned for coming to the Colts, people were upset that those guys didn't come and look here. Is he hurt too? Costanzo, Vuji, Haig, yeah. LeRaven Clark. These are guys that couldn't get the great Frank Gore 4 yards a carry. Andrew Luck almost died behind this offensive line.
Yeah.
So Saquon Barkley played. I'm going to give Penn State's offensive line some credit. I would suggest they're a better bunch than
bad.
What you have.
Yeah.
Well, I guess not Indiana, though, because he only ran for about 100 yards in 2 games against Indiana in 2 years. So it scratches your head. And this brings me to my point. It's 6. Are you going to get a home run, or do you just get better? Does 6 become 8 and you get 4 more draft picks?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to that.
Well, the point is, we just named 5 problems on the Colts' offensive line.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Saquon Barkley.
Not to mention the entire defense.
We haven't even got there yet. How many wide receivers the Colts have? I tell you who they have.
T.Y. Hilton.
Chester Rogers and T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Maybe Eric Swope, the tight end, Jack Doyle. Okay.
You're tall.
Well, I am. I can't play football. That's the other problem.
Well, that's a problem.
Well, neither could the guys on the Colts.
Yeah.
So that's the other issue. But you haven't got off the offensive line yet. Your quarterback's missed 2 seasons, essentially, because he's been physically unable to perform because he's beaten up.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a sexy let's sell tickets pick.
Sure.
That's something Cleveland does. This is Chris Ballard has to be in the, okay, if we think Luck is a quarterback of the future and we're going to pay him $150 million, he can't be hurt again.
Well, no question. But assuming Saquon Barkley makes it to 6, which is not a safe assumption.
Well, that's the other thing.
Not a safe assumption.
There's no guarantee he'll
just
be
as this exercise, let's assume he does. What would you do with your offensive line? I would suggest you maybe don't want to do what you did a couple years ago again because of who you have coming back at quarterback and go the draft route for all your offensive line problems. That doesn't mean you can't pick a guy at six who's an offensive lineman.
No.
A guard is being suggested. That's
you
not exactly sexy
now.
At six. But you've got $72 million worth of money to throw around.
Yes.
I would suggest that if I want my sixth or seventh year quarterback, who's actually missed a couple now seasons, if I would like him to stay upright, I might look at veteran guys to come in and get that job done right now. Would it be great if you can address it entirely through the draft? Absolutely. I mean, that to me is the belief in general. You add a piece here and a piece there through free agency, not the Ryan Grigson, I'm going to add six dudes and screw it up every year philosophy.
Well, and I think that goes back to the point. This is where the pressure comes in on Chris Ballard. Let's pat him on the back for loading up on draft picks. He still has to bring guys in the door that work.
That's right.
He has to bring guys in the front door that will play right now and make this team compatible. There's the sentiment going around that the Colts are in total rebuild mode. Well, when you look at their roster, it's hard to argue otherwise.
No question.
But it is a quarterback-driven league, and there have been times when the Colts were bad before when Andrew Luck was healthy, and he drug them by to 11 wins somehow. 5, 6, 7 fourth-quarter comeback victories. Defense was bad. Offense, everything was bad. You do have a home run hitter in T.Y. Hilton. I get all that. But if Andrew Luck isn't afforded time to make plays, what on the other side of the defense that you've now scrapped 3-4 and going to 4-3, you have no linebackers that are back from last year, maybe one, maybe two.
Up front, guys, the rushers.
Jonathan
not the middle
Hankins
are
gone.
Yeah.
So you do all this to get Hankins in and spend money. You bring in Art Jones. You bring in all these other guys. Mm-hmm. Now can they play in a 4-3? I don't know. I'm not a defensive coordinator.
Yeah.
The guy from the Colts is a brand new defensive coordinator. The defense has been bad forever. Chris Ballard was here last year trying to put a defense together and now is getting rid of part of that defense because it's a new scheme. It's great that they have picks. It's great that they have multiple picks. You hope second-round picks can show up and play immediately. We always talk about that. You know, third-round pick should. Fourth-round pick would be nice. Fifth-round pick and later everything is great. But if you miss in the draft and you miss in free, he has to hit.
You still have to get it right.
Where do you start if you're Chris Ballard?
You have four picks in the first two rounds. You've got an early third-rounder.
And
you
got to go 3-for-4
at
worst.
Out of the top 67 players in the draft, you can have five of them. But you got to get them right. You're exactly right.
You have to get them right. And it's going to really be interesting to show where he goes to shore it up first.
Yeah.
In the NFL, I'm not sure if defense wins you games. You look at all these final scores that are 30, 32, 28, and 37, 31. If you have Andrew Luck and you don't put pieces around him and you're hoping the defense is going to come and save the day and Luck gets hurt again, it doesn't matter how good your defense
is. Well, you mentioned an interesting thing, too, and that is the possibility you trade out of six again.
Why not?
Because
you need so many pieces.
You know, you would take right now as many second, third, and fourth round picks as you can get. Now, how far down would you have to go? That's a big question. I don't know where there's a breaking point considered right now as far as talent drop-off in this draft. I wouldn't want to get completely out of the first round because there are some really good players up there that I think you'd like to get one of. But it will be interesting. Does he go for best fit, you know, best player, whatever it is, outside of safety, which we've taken like the last 3 years in a row? That would be the only thing I would prefer we not take.
They're
other than
hurt.
Quarterback. Yeah.
All those safeties are hurt.
I know. And then you'll take a safety later in the draft. But
You have no corners.
Yeah, you need upfront guys on both sides of the ball. You could use a running back somewhere along the line. You certainly need pass rush.
Linebackers.
I mean, you name it. There's so much.
That's it. So if you think this is going to fix the Colts, the point is maybe it will down the road. But winning a trade on paper has never put a victory in the win column. Your quarterback has to be healthy. You have to score points in this league, and you have to stop other teams from doing so to some degree.
And the best news for Chris Ballard is he shouldn't have to address the quarterback position like everybody else who jumps way up in the draft every year. All right, folks, music means we got to head on out of here. We'll return Wednesday night to preview all of the NCAA tournament action. You've been in the zone.